meantime, he would relish every touch he could coax from Hawk, every confession, every smile. Hour by hour, minute by minute, leaving the unknowable future in its place, beyond reach. Under the faint light of the sliver of moon amid clouds, the beach stretched out in front of him, waves rolling over the sand. Behind Nathaniel, men went about their work. Some set up camp, others catching supper, and still others ferrying supplies from the ship, which was as close to shore as it could get, the sloop's shallow draught allowing it to bob in only 8 feet of water, a hulking shadow at anchor that would be heaved over in the light of day. Nathaniel stared at the empty expanse before him, then turned to Hawk, who watched him with a tiny smile before saying, "Go on, then." He didn't waste a moment, racing along the damp sand near the placid water's edge, delighting at the surf swirling around his ankles from time to time. He pumped his arms, breathing steadily, legs flexing, feet pushing off the sand. His heart thundered in the best way, reminding him he was wonderfully alive. There was nothing but him and the beach, his body working, mind free and clear as if he were racing across a meadow at Hollington. His breath came shorter than usual after weeks cooped up, and his muscles burned more quickly. But he didn't hesitate as he blazed across the sand, determined to enjoy every moment to the fullest, no matter how hard he had to work for it. He should likely have been more careful in the darkness, slowing to ensure he didn't trip and break his neck on an outcropping of rock. But there was only fine sand beneath his feet. It was seemingly endless until the beach abruptly gave way to a slew of rocks and boulders at the end of the island. The only direction to go was back the way he came, unless he wanted to veer into the hulking shadow of the tropical forest. He wasn't sure how far he'd gone, and he stopped at the edge of the nameless island, wonderfully alone, inhaling deeply of the fresh air, sweet with tropical blooms and heavy with impending rain. He caught his breath before trotting back along the beach. After a time, the moon disappeared, and he could barely make out the white crests of the waves as the wind increased. The crew's bonfire was faintly visible in the distance. He stopped and tugged at his sweat-drenched shirt, peeling it over his head and tossing it behind him. The water was blissfully cool without being cold, and he waded in to his thighs, breeches clinging. He was about to dive under when a voice called from the darkness.
"Wait!"
Splashing into the surf in his boots, Hawk tugged Nathaniel back onto dry sand. Nathaniel laughed. "Do you think I'm going to swim to Jamaica?" A huff of breath.
"I think you're going to drown. There may not be low and high tides in this particular sea as such, but there are still fucking currents."
It was too dark to clearly make out Hawk's expression, but his concern was obvious. Hawk's hand was still wrapped around Nathaniel's upper arm, but not in a punishing grip, just a steady one, anchoring him.
"What if we could have a future?"
Nathaniel's head battled with his heart as the skies opened in a blink, fat, warm rain splatting down. He reminded himself,
"Minute by minute, enjoy every moment."
He laughed, pulling free of Hawk's grasp and spinning with arms wide, head tipped back. He stripped off his breeches and drawers, needing to feel the rain everywhere, rivers over his skin. It poured down. Dizzy, Nathaniel stumbled to a stop, facing Hawk.
"Isn't it glorious? I could die happy in a place like this."
Through the rain, the imagined weight of Hawk's gaze was like a brand on Nathaniel's flesh in the darkness. Naked, soaked to the skin, wild and free, Nathaniel knew absolutely no shame. Going closer, he glimpsed lust shining from Hawk's eyes, and a wave of power swept through him, sending blood rushing to his cock. It swelled under Hawk's watch, and Nathaniel kept his arms at his sides, not hiding. In the night, fully dressed in his dark shirt, trousers and boots, Hawk could have been a wraith, a demon, one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, forbidding and unyielding. A stallion.
"Will you fuck me like this?"
Nathaniel asked, unable, unwilling, to stop himself.
"Here, right now. You still clothed, and me naked on my hands and knees. Will you mount me and—"
Hawk strode forward, yanking at his belt and laces, and spun Nathaniel around, shoving him to the sand. Nathaniel arched his back, and with a groan, Hawk pressed behind him. In another few moments, Hawk had his hard cock in hand, spitting and pushing it into Nathaniel's hole. Nathaniel cried out at the rough entry. He was sure he was being split in half, but he moaned,
"Don't stop! Harder!"
Grunting, Hawk clung to Nathaniel's hips, fucking him in short strokes, not all the way inside yet. Nathaniel spread his fingers in the wet sand, pushing back against Hawk's prick. The pain was part of it, and he wanted more, needed more. He looked back over his shoulder at Hawk's grimace, his teeth clenched as he fucked him.
"All of it,"
Nathaniel commanded. And when Hawk's glazed eyes snapped to his, he implored,
"Please."
Hips stuttering, Hawk growled, then pulled out and slammed all the way home. They both cried out, and Nathaniel could only drop his head and take it greedily. The sharp burn laced with pleasure as Hawk fucked him the way he needed. Hawk's hands curled over Nathaniel's shoulders, digging in as he ploughed him, the coarse fabric of his trousers rubbing against Nathaniel's arse. Hawk's hips drove as relentlessly as the rain, open belt slapping Nathaniel's thigh. His healing shoulder protested the rough treatment, but Nathaniel didn't flinch away from Hawk's grasp, desperate for more. The world narrowed as if seen through a spyglass, nothing else existing but Hawk's prick inside, stretching him with punishing thrusts, their harsh panting echoed in the rain. No matter how fine the sand had seemed between his toes earlier, it was coarse beneath his knees. When Hawk slammed into just the right spot, Nathaniel shouted, chanting nonsensical noises. He imagined how they must look. The pirate captain all in black, mounting his pale prisoner, giving him every inch of his massive prick.
"Harder!"
he pleaded, although in his hoarse voice it sounded like an order.
"Make me spend with your cock!"
Grunting with each thrust, Hawk pounded him, shifting his hips for the perfect angle and finding that secret, miraculous little nub inside. Nathaniel cried out, his own cock straining, leaking in the night air. The pressure that had been building in his bollocks burst. White stars exploded in Nathaniel's vision, bliss so intense sweeping through him as he spent that it left a hollowed-out trail in its wake. He clamped down on Hawk's prick, jerking, tipping his head back, lungs burning.
"Fill me! Only you!"
With a shout, Hawk did, fingers practically embedding in Nathaniel's shoulders, his seed spilling so deep inside. Nathaniel imagined it reached his very soul. The thought should have frightened him, but his balls drew up and spurted again, another few drops into the sand. The rain hadn't eased, and Nathaniel turned his head to catch a few drops on his tongue. His arms shook, every muscle in his body burning, and he dropped to his elbows, arse still up, Hawk leaning over him. He knew it would hurt when Hawk withdrew, and he braced himself when the fingers uncurled from his shoulders. Yet Hawk seemed in no rush, easing out his softening member inch by inch, one rough hand smoothing up and down Nathaniel's spine. In his wake, Nathaniel felt incredibly stretched and unbearably empty. When Hawk was free, Nathaniel flopped on his belly with legs spread, grains of sand sticking everywhere, too drained to care. He folded his hands under his cheek and closed his eyes, waiting for Hawk to tug him to his feet and back to the ship. The rain eased slightly, still steady and cool on his fevered skin. Hawk's calloused palms caressed Nathaniel's arse, then opened him to the rain, cleaning him with fingertips that were shockingly gentle after the fierceness of their coupling. Then his tongue was there, textured and marvellous, beard bristly against Nathaniel's tender, used hole. He licked and kissed, surely tasting his own seed. The thought made Nathaniel's spent bollocks twitch to life, a gasp on his lips, the wet sand too much against his soft, sensitive cock. Hawk spread Nathaniel wide, poking into him with his tongue. Nathaniel groaned.
"You can't make me release again. It's impossible."
That was how he found himself on his back, wet sand in many crevices, the downpour fortunately washing much of it away. Hawk cupped his hands to the rain, gathering water to rinse Nathaniel's groin of any lingering sand. He breathed hard between Nathaniel's bent legs, staring down at him with carnal purpose, a devil's smile curving his full lips. Groaning again, Nathaniel said,
"That wasn't a dare, simply a statement of fact."
Hawk closed one damp fist around Nathaniel's shaft, his other hand reaching down to press just so against the sensitive skin behind his balls. A lightning bolt of pleasure struck, stealing Nathaniel's breath. His whimper trailed into a laugh.
"I bet you'll do anything to prove me wrong, won't you?"
The rain tapered off, stars shedding a little more light as the clouds dissipated. Hawk laughed too, not a derisive bark or triumphant shout, but soft and true. His face was shockingly boyish, creased with his grin, hair plastered to his head and skin soaked. He tracked his knuckles down Nathaniel's cheek, then brushed them over his lips. Nathaniel's heart hurtled back to a gallop as Hawk leaned down, his expression unmistakably tender, eyes searching as though he could read some answer upon his face. For a heart-stopping moment, Nathaniel was sure Hawk would kiss him, that he would press their lips together and share breath in an intimacy Nathaniel imagined would be more profound than any of the fucking they'd done. Then the mask slipped back into place, and Hawk's smile went positively feral. Before Nathaniel could hope to think of a response, Hawk pulled Nathaniel's arse up onto his thighs. He was splayed under the stars, writhing and utterly wanton for the world to see, Hawk's head buried between his legs, licking and sucking his spent cock and balls mercilessly. It was one wager Nathaniel was only too happy to lose. Chapter 17. So much cursed sand. Even though Hawk hadn't taken off his clothes, it had burrowed everywhere. Under the large canvas tent, he shifted on the scattered collection of pillows and blankets that made his bed. A table from the mess and his desk chair stood nearby. Clad only in a too big white shirt, Nathaniel slept curled on his side with his back against Hawk's chest. Hawk's arm slung around him. The sides of the tent hung loose, flapping in the morning breeze, sunlight dancing in and making the tip of Nathaniel's ear glow. Hawk didn't know what sorcery had taken hold of him, but beholding Nathaniel in the rain, naked and beautiful with delight, lean muscles gleaming, he'd wanted to do anything Nathaniel asked. Anything to keep him so happy. So free. Maybe he was a sea nymph, spinning some kind of magic. Although perhaps not, given how he'd splashed out without a thought to the currents, especially with the wind whipping. Even now, Hawk's heart skipped a beat as he imagined Nathaniel disappearing under those dark waves and never resurfacing. "What the fuck is the matter with me?"
The chorus of "Heave!" as most of the crew hauled the ship onto her side filled the air. Hawk glimpsed them as the tent flapped open. Ropes taut as lines of men took turns pulling, the Manta's hull being revealed to the merciless sun. A mess of barnacles evident along with boards that needed replacing and God knew what else. Hawk should be out there supervising, encouraging, lending a hand himself given their tight turnaround. He had a job to do, and it wasn't to stay secreted away in his tent with their prisoner in his arms. But God, he just didn't care any more. Part of him wished the men would take the ship and leave him and Nathaniel be. For so many years the sea had been his home, and he had no doubt now he'd had his fill. Snell had said he wouldn't be able to leave the pirate life behind. But Hawk knew he must. Perhaps he would fail miserably. Yet as he listened to the steady song of Nathaniel's breath, felt its rise and fall, wanted to press his lips to the mole on the top of Nathaniel's shoulder. The world seemed full of possibility. It was madness. He shouldn't care about anything but collecting the ransom in 2 days. Tension gripped him, a shiver of fear slithering down his spine. He had to stay on task, especially when some of the men were growing restless. He'd been taking a piss in the trees, dawn not even a hint on the horizon, when he'd heard the voices. Voices not as hushed as they should have been, thanks to the barrel of rum.
"If you ask me, this ransom is a fool's errand. Captain's going to get us all killed for nothing."
"No one asked you, Deeks," a voice replied dryly. Sounded like the navigator, Boland, a lettered man who'd deserted the Royal Navy. Hawk hadn't asked why.
"Bainbridge might not even have the money."
Hawk strained to hear, trying to place the voice.
Ah, yes. Tully, the newest troublesome recruit. Tully went on.
"You heard the bitch say it, Deeks. So what happens if we still don't have it by the deadline? Then we've been sailing around doing naught but wasting our time and we could be waylaying ships."
"She did say it,"
Deeks confirmed. Tully added,
"We all know the captain's fucking that little fop."
"Can't blame him for that. Most of us would take a go at that sweet arse, given half the chance."
Boland spoke up again. "Yet when was the last time the captain actually bedded anyone? It's not his usual way." He paused. "It's concerning, I'll grant that. This playing at courtship."
Hawk stood stock still in the trees, the men's shadows barely visible on the edge of the beach. He'd finished pissing, but he didn't move, his cock hanging out, heart thudding. Deeks laughed.
"I heard he was dreaming about retiring and becoming a fucking farmer or the like."
A round of raucous laughter, and Hawk stood there in the darkness feeling unbearably small. Who had Snell told? Or had someone overheard them? He supposed it was immaterial, yet it stung nonetheless. Deeks added,
"A man like that? Can you imagine? Who the fuck does he think he's kidding?"
Tully said,
"Seems clear to me the captain's more interested in buggering that fancy arse and spinning fantasies than doing what's best for the ship. For us. Is he even going to give the little brat up?"
Someone Hawk couldn't place spoke.
"Bainbridge did save O'Connell. He's not so bad."
"Yeah, and we's grateful," Tully said. "Letting him up on the deck, not restrained nor nothing. No offence to O'Connell, but is he worth your share of that ransom? We've been good to the whelp, left him alone and not laid a finger on him."
Deeks replied,
"'Cause you know the captain will have your bollocks for earrings if you even looked at the boy the wrong way."
"Exactly. Proves our point, don't it? Sure, there's keeping the prize unsullied to make sure we get the ransom. But it's more than that. Captain's not in his right head about this. You saw how he let Bainbridge run off down the beach. His thinking's—"
"Compromised?" Boland suggested. Tully said,
"That's it. Compromised and alike. You've all been serving under him too long. I see it clear."
"So what are you proposing?" Boland asked. "Mutiny?"
Hawk's stomach clenched, his breath shallow.
There were low murmurs. Then Tully said,
It ain't mutiny if we take a vote, is it? I thought pirate ships were all... what's your word?
Democratic, Boland answered, and Hawke could imagine the roll of his eyes. Yes, but you weren't with us when Walter Bainbridge cheated us. We followed England's rules to the letter, and he lied and declared us pirates. We would have all lightly swung for it if we hadn't taken them by surprise. They underestimated us, especially the captain. That is a deep wound. He wants his revenge against Bainbridge, no matter how infatuated he might find himself with the man's pretty son. Deke said,
"'Tis true. Underestimate Captain Hawke at your own peril. We've got to be smart about this."
Tully insisted,
"All I'm saying is that we make sure we get what's owed us. If it weren't for me, he might never have known who the little shit was."
The nameless voice said,
"There's no way the captain will give up that ransom or spitting in Bainbridge's face. No arse is that sweet. He's getting it while the getting's good, and like we said, who can blame him? But if Bainbridge doesn't have the money, Captain Hawke will cut that boy into pieces and deliver them to his father one by one."
Hawke tasted bile, reaching out to grip the rough bark of a tree as the man went on.
"Probably the ears first, maybe lips.
Fingers, then his prick,"
Tully said.
"But will he? I don't reckon there's as much call to fear him as you think. He's grown weak. Don't have his priorities straight from where I'm sitting."
Hawke tightened his arm around Nathaniel, who murmured and shifted in his sleep. He'd wanted to stride onto the beach, draw his cutlass and slice them to pieces for the birds and insects to swarm. Especially Tully, whose tongue Hawke would take great pleasure in ripping from his big mouth. But the truth of it was, they were right. His thinking was compromised by his prick. No, far worse than that. By soft, tender places within that he hadn't unearthed in years, hadn't known still existed, not since John so long ago. He'd allowed Nathaniel to dig away at him, shifting sands grain by grain until he was laid bare. His lips brushed the knots of Nathaniel's spine, heart warming at the whisper of his sleepy sigh. The entrance to the tent flapped up in a gust of wind and across the beach. Hawke spotted a cluster of men speaking. Tully among them. They glanced back at the tent, and Hawke wasn't sure if it was too bright out there to see in. To see him holding their prisoner in his arms.
Enough.
Time to put a stop to it. Closing his eyes, he thought of Walter Bainbridge, and that day at the Admiralty Court when Hawke had stood in disbelief as he was branded a pirate after so many years in faithful service to the crown. He pressed at the wound that had festered ever since, calling on his fury. Yes, he would have his revenge and his ransom. If not, he would lose control of his ship. Worse than that, if the men determined he'd been acting against their interests, he could be put to death. He'd seen crews turn, and it could happen in a blink. How had he let himself drift so far off course? Snell's words echoed through his head.
"Sentiment will only go so far."
And it had gone more than fucking far enough. Rolling away and grabbing his boots, he tugged one on. A sleepy voice murmured,
"Tell me you aren't really going to wear those boots. We'll be on the beach all day. The men will still respect you, you know."
Nathaniel remained curled away on his side, unable to see what Hawke was doing.
"Christ, does he know me so well already? How did I allow this?"
Nathaniel was probably right. Hawke likely didn't have to dress the part. But he pulled on the other boot anyway, his feet already protesting in the damp, musty leather that would soon be like two ovens. He couldn't take Nathaniel's counsel. He had to put an end to this unwanted attraction that stirred far too fucking much. Soon he would exchange Nathaniel for the money and never see him again. That was the plan. That was how it would be. except Nathaniel insisted he would forge a new life for himself.
Maybe.
Nathaniel laughed softly, and from the corner of his eye, Hawk watched as he pushed himself up and inhaled sharply. Hawk had already asked, "What?" and taken hold of Nathaniel's shoulders before he could think twice. Gasping, Nathaniel shrugged and squirmed away, leaning his hands on the tangled, sandy blanket. Hawk tugged the collar of Nathaniel's worn shirt to the side, taking in the finger-shaped bruises. Guilt stabbed, razor-sharp and jagged. And never mind his shoulders. Hawk could imagine how tender Nathaniel's ass was after what they'd done without oil and in the sand. Before he could say a thing, Nathaniel did.
"It's not your fault. I asked you to. I wanted it like that."
"True, but..." Hawk cleared his throat.
"Do you need the surgeon?"
Nathaniel glanced over his shoulder, rolling his eyes.
"For a few bruises. I'm confident I'll survive."
"Are you sure it's only bruising?"
Nathaniel shifted gingerly, coming around to sit. He smiled softly.
"I believe so. If I discover otherwise, I'll tell you."
Frowning, Hawk folded his arms and considered shouting for the surgeon anyway.
"If there's tearing..."
"I'm fine."
He placed his hand, warm and gentle, on Hawk's bare forearm, where the sleeves were rolled up, his thumb stroking.
"Don't worry."
And fuck, it was too much to take. The easy familiarity. The way Nathaniel scratched his chest absently with his other hand, yawning, as if this were a lazy morning in another place. Another life altogether. It was a fraud, and a potentially deadly one at that. Hawk shook him off and jumped to his feet in the stupid fucking boots, almost losing his balance on the sand. A blanket caught around his ankle. He kicked it free.
"I'm not worried, but I can't return you to your father with too many bruises."
Nathaniel infuriatingly gave him another winsome smile.
"Perhaps you don't have to return me at all. We could..."
"Hawk!"
Snell stood just outside the tent.
"If you're quite ready to start a day, there are a few matters at hand."
Without glancing back at Nathaniel, Hawk strode out and up to the tree line, well out of earshot of the tent. His boots were already too hot, and he hadn't put on his belt. He squared his shoulders and stiffened his spine, swatting at a fly.
"What is it, Mr. Quartermaster?"
Snell exhaled a long breath, his lips in a thin line.
"Well, Captain, I want to make sure your head's in the game. Do you top your shoulders, for the record? Because the crew are starting to wonder."
Hawk kept his tone even, aware of the men's eyes on them across the beach. Had Tully been sowing more seeds of resentment?
"If they're so keen to elect a new captain, they should have at it. What kind of nonsense is that?"
"Maybe it would be for the best. I could move on."
Sighing, Snell shook his head, shoulders slumping.
"For fuck's sake, Hawk. I know you've been restless, but I tell you, I've seen it before. And there's no way you'd be satisfied doing anything else. The only rules we have are our own, not fucking England's tyranny. Would you really go back to that? Not that they'd have you. You're a wanted man in the new world and old. Surely there's another way to make a life out of England's reach, a Spanish island or French, or somewhere new entirely. It won't be easy, but... Well, why the fuck shouldn't I try? Why shouldn't I live to be a fat old man with my lover at my side instead of this constant struggle to survive?"
Snell's eyes narrowed.
"Don't tell me you're dreaming about that fancy little lord."
It was all Hawk could do to keep from slamming his fist into Snell's pudgy, weathered face. A face he'd always regarded with affection. He vibrated with violence, begging to be unleashed. Hands lifting in surrender, Snell shook his head. He lowered his voice, pleading.
"Tell me you don't really think he'd want you. Once he's back in civilization, in a grand house with pretty girls and hot baths at the snap of his fingers, succulent meat on his plate every night. As much as he enjoyed your cock, do you really think Bainbridge's son would give up a life of luxury and riches for you?
Hawk wanted to scream,
"Yes!"
He managed to get out.
He said he didn't want that. He said...
Hawk was flayed apart, bare under the cloudless sky, sweat beading on his forehead. The sympathy in Snell's eyes was the worst thing.
He said whatever he thought you wanted to hear. He's a clever lad. He's kept himself not only alive, but in comfort, granted far more freedom than any prisoner I've ever seen. You remember what you told us the night we captured him? Not to be taken in by him. Not to be ensnared. I fear it is too late, but you must heed your own words, Hawk. I'm begging you. If you actually care for him, let him have his privileged life.
Hawk opened his mouth, then snapped it shut again. Snell went on.
He's young. He was caught up in adventure, warm in a pirate captain's bed. It was a fantasy for you both. Don't do this to yourself. I've seen many a sailor chase after some sweet young thing, and it always ends the same. I don't want that disappointment for you. That lad has his whole life before him. Truly, what can you offer? Think about it. The reality is we're thieves. Killers.
Denial sparked, and Hawk spat.
Because Bainbridge cheated us and branded us pirates. Criminals.
Snell was silent for a few long heartbeats, assessing him with an unreadable expression, until Hawk shifted on his feet, desperation clawing at him.
Well, he did. Aye. And we embraced it. We made the Sea Hawk one of the most feared names in these waters in a few short years. We stole and we killed. Yes, there are other pirates who are worse. We haven't raped or tortured under your watch. But don't fool yourself into thinking you're something other than what you are.
Hawk jerked as Snell gently clasped his arm.
You're too good at this to give it up. You don't know any other way to live. You'll forget him before long, and these doldrums will pass. You'll remember what you love about the sea and hunting our next prize.
Hawk's throat was bone dry, but he scraped out,
"What's wrong with wanting a little peace?"
Snell sighed and gave his arm a final squeeze.
Men like us don't get peace.
Hawk watched the closest thing he had to a friend turn away and rejoin the crew. Snell was right. Hawk didn't deserve a moment of serenity. He didn't deserve a life with a man as bright and beautiful and good as Nathaniel. More importantly, Nathaniel deserved better than a scarred, worn-down pirate with too much blood on his hands. Hawk knew this. Knowing was one thing. His heart's thudding desire, flowing through his veins like the tide, relentless, unforgiving, was another. But it was clear he'd indulged his fantasies far too much and for far too long. He marched back to the tent, ducking through the flapping entrance. He tucked his shirt into his trousers and snatched up his belt. The urge to rejoin Nathaniel in their makeshift bed tugging at him. Fish hooks in his flesh. Nathaniel rolled to his knees, trying to hide another wince. "Can I help with the barnacles?" Keeping his gaze anywhere but on Nathaniel as he stalked to his makeshift desk, Hawk snapped,
"No, you'll stay here."
"Here, inside the tent, but..."
"But nothing. You are the prisoner and you will fucking stay where I tell you to. I'm the one in charge."
The dagger had to be at Nathaniel's throat, not his own.
"We've let you have your way too much. That is at an end."
Soon you will be returned to your treacherous father on Primrose Isle, and I'll be rich."
Nathaniel was silent for a few moments, then cleared his throat, his voice shaking.
"What did Mr. Snell say to you? What's changed so suddenly?"
"Nothing has changed."
Hawke kept his gaze averted. "This has always been the reality of the situation. This will soon be over."
Nathaniel's voice was hoarse.
"Yet, until then, we can still have this between us."
"There is nothing between us."
"But last night we—"
With jerky motions, Hawke strapped on the belt, ruthlessly pushing away the memories of their wild coupling.
Nathaniel's cries, the heat of his body, rain soaking their fevered skin. Hawke certainly could hear their hearts beating as one.
He spat, "We fucked. I stuck my cock in your tight little hole. Nothing more. I'm a pirate captain and you are our prize. I've enjoyed fucking your virgin ass, knowing how much it would horrify your father, but I've grown tired of it. You're used up now."
"You don't mean that?"
he roared.
"Don't tell me what I mean,"
and shoved his pistol in his belt, his fucking hand trembling.
This conversation had to end.
He had to hold his resolve. Casting about for a source of particular cruelty, he found his target.
"I must say I eagerly anticipate relaying to your father in great detail all the filthy things you've said and done. How you begged for my cock. What a whore you are. Perhaps I'll draw him a few pictures."
Nathaniel sucked in a breath.
"You wouldn't."
He laughed harshly.
"Wouldn't I? This is about revenge, plum. Nothing more. If I've lulled you into a false sense of complacency, you have no one to blame but yourself. For I'm a pirate, after all. Notoriously untrustworthy."
"Don't look at him. Put an end to this now before tumbling any deeper down this chasm."
"I don't understand what changed overnight."
Hawke stopped by the blankets, his legs spread, looking down from his full height, sneer firmly in place.
He struck the killing blow. "Then apparently you're an imbecile after all."
With that, he stalked off,
already trying to forget the image of Nathaniel's mouth open in surprise, undeniable hurt creasing his beautiful face.
Chapter 18.
"Then apparently you're an imbecile after all."
Nathaniel knew he shouldn't allow the insult to cut so deeply, but it did all the same.
He'd welcomed the bruises on his body, but Hawke's sudden reversal left his soul battered, an awful hollow sensation taking up residence. He should have known this was coming, but it had taken him utterly unaware.
As the morning went by and Hawke didn't return, Nathaniel curled on his side to take pressure off his arse, which throbbed dully, a constant reminder. To be caught so off guard was beyond foolish, given that Hawke was a pirate.
A killer. A thief. A criminal.
Hadn't Nathaniel initially hated him, cowered from him,
felt the punishing grip of Hawke's hand on his throat? He shouldn't have forgotten for a moment.
Yet they'd taken such pleasure in each other, and he knew Hawke hadn't faked that. And it was more than fucking.
They'd talked, confessed truths.
Hawke had cradled him in his arms, and none of that had been to aid base desires.
Hawke had bestowed on him those beautiful smiles.
Nathaniel's eyes burned now to think of them.
Through the flapping sides of the tent, he spied him marching around in those ridiculous boots while everyone else went the practical route in bare feet.
The thunder of Hawke's commands echoed across the sand, the men sharing looks as they scurried to obey. Midday, Mr. O'Connell brought him water, fresh-cooked fish, and tangy, sweet fruit that should have been a delight.
Nathaniel sat up and poked at his plate glumly, thanking him. Glad he'd put on his breeches earlier. Frowning, O'Connell tugged on the loose ends of his long, curling hair, which he'd mostly tied up against the heat. He was perhaps 35, wrinkles starting to line his bearded face. The hair below his chin long enough to bead together into a point.
"What happened that's got the captain so furious since you stuck in here?"
Nathaniel shrugged, despite his shoulders' protest. He was unable to keep the bitterness from his tone.
"I am a prisoner, after all, just a thing to be bartered. He saw fit to remind me."
O'Connell sighed.
"Well, don't fret. It'll be over soon, and you'll be home safe."
He gave Nathaniel a smile. Home. Safe. The two words rattled around Nathaniel's mind. He had no home, and the safety he'd felt in Hawk's arms had evaporated. Had he tricked himself to think that Hawk cared, even a little? God, was he really that stupid? And truly, what had he expected? That he and Hawk would sail off into the sunset together? He didn't even know the man's true name. He jolted when Mr. O'Connell clasped his arm, kneeling beside him.
"Truly, I'll do everything I can to see you home safely."
Nathaniel nodded gratefully, then asked,
"Where is your home, Mr. O'Connell?"
"Alan."
He shrugged, sitting back and crossing his legs.
"And it's the ship. Wherever the wind takes us."
"But originally, was it Ireland?"
He smiled. "I tried to get rid of the accents, but I, County Clare. My family died when a fever swept through our village. I came across the sea to try my luck in the New World. Never planned on becoming a pirate. But here I am. Life is funny that way."
"How did you end up on the damned Manta?"
"I was on a merchant ship in Port Tortuga. Captain Hawk was recruiting. We knew I might die sooner than I'd like as a pirate. But the conditions on the merchant ship were even more deadly. Scurvy was rampant. We had no freedom, no respect. Captain Hawk offered both. He's a harsh taskmaster, but he's fair."
Nathaniel toyed with his food.
"I'm sorry about your parents. How old were you?"
"I was 19. But my parents survived. 'Twas my wife, Nuala, and our daughter, who perished. She'd only just been born. Aileen."
His gaze went distant, and his shoulders lifted with a deep breath in and out.
"That was her name. She had a wisp of red hair, just like her mother's. Would have been freckle-faced, too, I reckon, if—"
He took another labored breath.
"We didn't have a chance to baptize her."
Looking down, his Adam's apple bobbed.
"But at least I know my Nuala is safe in heaven."
He shook his head.
"Christ, I don't know what's gotten into me. I suppose they've been on my mind more than usual since that day in the rigging. Facing the sudden end of your life, it
has an effect."
Another small smile.
"That it does.
I'm so very sorry about Nuala and Aileen."
He wished there was something he could say, or some gesture to make. He took Alan's shoulder gently.
"What the fuck is this?"
Hawk roared, storming into the tent, reaching for his pistol. Leaping to his feet so quickly he almost toppled over, Alan backed away with hands raised.
"Nothing, Captain, I swear. I just brought his rations."
Between gritted teeth, Hawk ordered,
"Get the fuck out!"
Alan practically leapt for the door, away in an instant. It was Nathaniel's turn to jump up and demand,
"What is the matter with you?"
Fisting the loose neck of Nathaniel's shirt, Hawk glowered down, hot, harsh blasts of air skimming over his face.
"Did you think you'd work your charms on him? Turn the men against me?"
"Well, I am a whore, according to you." Nathaniel leaned in, going up on his toes, their noses close to touching.
"But no, I was simply listening to him tell me of his dead wife and child." "Why should I believe you?"
Hawk shoved him back a step, looming over him with his bulk. Nathaniel unclenched his hands and grabbed Hawk's shirt, digging in his heels, determined not to give another inch.
"You know what I think? You're jealous, but most of all, you're afraid."
Hawk shoved him away and made his escape. Nathaniel staggered but stayed upright. He paced around the tent for long minutes, blood rushing in his ears, the urge to punch something nearly overwhelming. Finally, the fight drained away, and he sank back to the nest of blankets. Determined not to weaken himself, He had a bite of fish, but almost hurled it back up, his stomach too knotted to eat. Of course, that reminded him of when he'd vomited all over Hawk, and Hawk hadn't been angry at all. He'd tended to Nathaniel so kindly and brought him into his bed for comfort. Why had he done that if Nathaniel was nothing but a hole to fuck? Why had he taken such care later to bring Nathaniel pleasure with his mouth and hands? Read to him for hours even when his voice became hoarse. Putting his bowl aside, Nathaniel curled atop the nest of blankets again. Burying his face, he inhaled deeply despite himself. He'd become accustomed to Hawk's smell, a woodsy scent and the salt sea spray that clung to his skin. Accustomed to the sounds he made, low grunts and groans, but also small sighs when he thought Nathaniel was sleeping. Most of all, he'd become used to the touch of Hawk's calloused hands on his body, the wonderful fullness and power of his cock. How his weathered fingertips sometimes skated over Nathaniel's skin with an impossibly soft touch. Was Hawk now becoming familiar with Nathaniel in the same way? Did he experience a pulse of desire simply from his scent? But the desires bottled within Nathaniel had grown too big and unwieldy. Oh, how he yearned to peel away more of Hawk's scarred layers and wriggle into the spots where soft smiles and even laughter lived. He wanted to hold and be held, to share wine and bread and the warmth of a hearth in winter, listening to Hawk read aloud. To create a home together. "I really am an imbecile," he muttered. He had no home. He couldn't make one on Primrose Isle, no matter how much he'd missed dear Susanna. Lord, what would she think if she knew the things he'd done? Hawk's threat to expose Nathaniel's true self to Walter echoed harshly in his mind, and now resentment grew. Hadn't Hawk told him there was no dishonour in it, that Nathaniel's desires were natural? And now he threatened to shame him for it. Nathaniel's skin crawled with humiliation. Yet the hypocrisy galled him, infuriated him. Whore! He'd felt so at home in his own skin with Hawk, sucking and rutting and fucking unabashedly. When Hawk had held him down, mastered him, an odd sense of power had filled Nathaniel along with that massive cock. And now Hawk said he should feel guilty for it, that it was wrong after all. Tears pricked his eyes, and he swiped at them angrily. No, he wouldn't allow Hawk to strip him of the fulfilment he'd found in his soul, the harmony he'd finally achieved within himself. The knowledge that he could have the things he'd always craved, and it wasn't a sin. It was true and proper, and he wouldn't deny himself. Fists clenching, he sat and reached for his bowl, shoveling the food in, letting rage simmer and fuel him along with the rations. He would keep up his strength. He would not be bowed by Hawk's bluster. He would not submit to this cruelty, no matter how strenuously and absurdly Hawk insisted on it. "I don't believe him," he whispered. Staring out at Hawk on the beach, working shoulder to shoulder with his men to clean and repair the hull, Nathaniel vacillated between anger and compassion like a ship rolling on rough seas. He thought of the boy who'd been snatched by a press gang and forced into the Navy, and yet had still wanted to serve his country. Then was branded a pirate. But he'd embraced the role, no matter what or who drove him to it. Nathaniel rooted around for his dagger, which Hawk had allowed him to bring ashore with nary a blink. "He trusts me." Yet why should that fill him with warmth and satisfaction? No matter how tender he had been at times, Hawk was his captor. Nathaniel shouldn't care about his thoughts or feelings. He jumped to his feet and practiced his blade work, feinting and lunging for invisible opponents, sweat slicking his skin. If Hawk said he didn't give a damn, Nathaniel should take him at his word. Still, each time he tried to convince himself there was nothing between them, that he'd imagined it all. Memories of Hawk's gentle hands, genuine smile or laughter rippled through him. Gripping the dagger, he slashed at the air. no end in sight to his confusion, especially since Hawk was apparently determined to avoid him like the blackest of plagues. The crew's work went well beyond sunset, and Nathaniel paced the tent, dagger still in hand. It seemed there was a worse thing than being demeaned. Being ignored. After a day holed up, with trees and water and that glorious beach taunting him, along with Hawk's utter disregard, Nathaniel had had quite enough. It was late now, many of the men asleep, others still drinking their rum around a fire. Clutching the dagger like a talisman, willing himself strength, he strode from the tent and across the beach with no hesitation. He was past the fire when he heard the first shouts, and soon Hawk's voice boomed.
"Where the fuck do you think you're going? Get back in the tent! Now!"
Heart thumping, Nathaniel spun around. Still a distance away, Hawk marched toward him, lips in a thin line. All eyes on them. Nathaniel yelled, "I'm going for a run!"
"You had your run yesterday!"
In the firelight, as he approached, the lines of Hawk's face were granite, fists clenched.
"I told you to stay in that tent. I will not allow this."
Nathaniel waited until Hawk was almost in reach.
"Bet you can't catch me."
Hawk's curses exploded in the night as Nathaniel sprinted away, followed by his command for the men to stay put and his promise that he would indeed catch the prisoner. A laugh bubbled up in Nathaniel's throat, manic and wild as he led Hawk on the chase, knowing he could outrun him by far, especially since Hawk insisted on those boots. Nathaniel reached the end of the island in what seemed like a blink, his feet flying over the sand, heart pumping, dagger in his grip. Powerful and alive. Unbroken. At the end of the island, the sand ended in a huddle of rocks and boulders. Dagger in his mouth, Nathaniel clambered up to wait for Hawk, but determined not to be ignored. He would confront Hawk with the truth. He would... A man appeared from the corner of his eye, cresting the other side of the rock jumble. Nathaniel's heart stopped as he spun to face him, dagger still between his teeth. They stared at each other in the starlight, and Nathaniel made out the outline of a ship anchored offshore. 3 masts, one clearly splintered and damaged. Men in longboats rowing ashore, no uniforms from what he could tell.
Pirates!
The man opened his mouth to shout, and Nathaniel dove, smashing him back against a rock and knocking the air from him in a pained heave. Then they tumbled between 2 boulders, fortunately onto sand, and Nathaniel's own lungs seized with the impact as he bit painfully into the dagger's wooden handle, refusing to relinquish it. About Nathaniel's size and wiry, the pirate tried to scramble out of their tangle of limbs in the narrow space between the boulders. On his back, Nathaniel managed to get his dagger in hand as the pirate punched at his head and face, the blows glancing, not enough room for full swings. Still, blood streamed from Nathaniel's nose as they grappled, squawking and scrabbling and spitting, the man on top of him. When the pirate's blunt fingers closed around Nathaniel's neck, panic took hold.
"Dying? No!"
Nathaniel kicked madly, striking stone with his bare feet and trying everything to shift off the man's weight and turn the tables, gasping for air, white stars bursting in the blackness. The man was too strong, his hands impossible to pry free from Nathaniel's throat. Not enough space to get a knee up or to twist and use momentum. This was how he'd end. Nathaniel flailed out, the dagger blade clanging off rock. He changed his grip and stabbed upward. And the pirate howled as he struck flesh and a shoulder bone. Then a shriek trailed into a gurgle as Nathaniel jammed the blade into the man's neck. He pulled it out and slashed, warm blood spurting over Nathaniel's face as the pirate choked, hands on his throat now, trying to stem the unrelenting tide. The pirate was still on top of Nathaniel in the dark, dark space, and Nathaniel shoved at him, climbing over the man he'd just killed, not waiting until the deed was finished, desperate to escape those wheezing last breaths. Standing on him, Nathaniel hauled himself up, finding hand and footholds on the boulders, blood in his mouth along with the wooden dagger handle, metal and oak. Sucking in the fresh air, limbs shaking, he stood atop the rocks as Hawk approached, chest heaving, steel in his voice and no weapons on his belt as he said,
"I don't know what the hell you think you're doing, but—"
He stopped and stared, inhaling so sharply he jolted with it. Bafflement creased his face. With a glance behind him at the pirates organizing on the island's east side, Nathaniel tucked the dagger into his breeches and scrambled down toward Hawk, who met him halfway, confusion replaced with drive, reaching for him with strong hands, lifting him from the rocks onto his feet, eyes wild as they took him in. Hawk asked,
"How?"
as he passed his hands over Nathaniel's head, arms and chest, then took hold of his stained cheeks.
"Where are you hurt?"
Nathaniel reached up to wipe at the blood on his face.
"I killed him. Pirates! They're coming!"
After sitting Nathaniel down on a low rock, still checking him for injuries, Hawk climbed to peek over the boulders. He quickly returned, hissing,
"Fuck us! One eye didn't give up after all!"
On his knees by Nathaniel's feet, he held his face again.
"Can you run?"
"Yes."
Shock gave way to the horrible thrill of battle that he understood for the first time, and Nathaniel jumped to his feet.
"Yes!"
Still on his knees and gazing up, Hawk gripped his hands.
"Tell Snell to bring everyone. We're helpless with the ship still out of the water. This is all or nothing. We're outnumbered, so we must take them by surprise."
He held Nathaniel's fingers so tightly Nathaniel feared they might snap.
"Wait at camp. If we fail, surrender and tell them who you are and what you're worth. Tell them they can't hurt you or there will be no money. Promise you won't fight. Promise you'll stay safe."
"No, I can help. I killed him. He was going to kill me, but I didn't let him. I couldn't. I had to... There are so many of them. I have to..."
On his knees, Hawk implored,
"Please."
And Nathaniel found he couldn't deny him. He nodded, and Hawk rose, giving him a crooked smile.
"I bet you can make it back before I reach their ship."
"Their ship? But there are too many of them."
"Yes, but they're gathering on the beach, which means only a skeleton crew remaining aboard."
He bent and tugged off his boots.
"Good night for a little swim. Now go."
There were so many things Nathaniel wanted to say. Too many things. Instead, he pulled his hands from Hawk's grasp and pressed the bloody dagger into Hawk's palm. Then he ran. His mind spun with what Hawk would do in the meantime, praying he'd wait for reinforcements and knowing he wouldn't. Nathaniel flew down the beach, denying himself the lunatic urge to return to Hawk. As if Nathaniel could somehow protect him from the hordes of men arriving from the other ship. He shouted for Mr. Snell as he approached, and the men jumped into action, casting their cups of rum aside and gathering their weapons. They seemed to forget about Nathaniel as they stormed down the beach, Mr. Snell sending contingents into the trees as well. It was simple for Nathaniel to follow, staying close to the foliage, protected by the shadows, sand forgiving under his battered feet. The explosion rocked the night as he neared the end of the island, almost knocking him back on his ass. Ears ringing, he rushed onward, ducking into the forest, ignoring the rough twigs, roots and rocks under his soles, nearing the men Mr. Snell had sent into the trees, following their lead. At the edge of the jungle he stopped, taking in the fire-illuminated scene below. The unprotected javelin burned. Orange flames licking up the mainmast they hadn't fully repaired. Men screaming as the gun deck was engulfed. The flint of gunpowder was thick in the air even at a distance. Thick plumes of black smoke rising.
Hawk, where was he?
Had he been able to swim away fast enough after presumably lighting a fuse? Nathaniel stood on the precipice above the beach, scanning it desperately, calculating the quickest path to the water, as the Manta crew streamed forward from two sides. They cornered the pirates of the Javelin, who were apparently taken by surprise, fumbling and flustered, stunned to see their ship burning. Then, There. Hawk emerged from the water, outlined by the orange glow behind as he grabbed the closest man and snapped